At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
When you think work, you think boots. You think boots, you think Ariat. You think grit, concrete, rain, and heat. And boots that never back down from any of it. You think comfort and durability that hold up on the job, off the clock, and every step in between. Because the day doesn't end when the job does. And from overtime to off-duty, you're thinking Ariat boots. Boots that show up, stand out, and always back you up. Now, it's time to stop thinking and start shopping. Find yours at Ariat.com or a retailer near you.
Welcome to another episode of the Bambature Hour. Thank you for tuning in. We now have over 500 subscribers to our YouTube channel, and we're growing daily. We have thousands of listeners now. Thank you. Thank you. We're on YouTube, Apple Podcast, Amazon Music, iHeart Podcast, Spotify, Podcast Index, RSR Podcast. Subscribe, like, and follow us on the platforms where you access our content. If you access us on the YouTube channel, please subscribe and ring the bell and make sure you get our notifications. On today's episode, we are going to do what I call a rewind look at Bama's games played in 2024, and we're going to do a rewind review and lessons learned and issues exposed so we can look at the issues that need to be fixed for 2025 from the 2024 season and how Bama can improve. A couple of things that we noticed from the 2024 season, that as we do these rewind episodes, by the way, today we're going to look at Bama's win over Western Kentucky and South Florida and the lessons learned from that and the issues exposed. But some themes that you're going to find as we look at all of these games from 2024 is that there were explosive plays galore, but the offense was explosive plays boom or bust. There were also lots of penalties. This team committed a lot of penalties, both on the offensive side and the defensive side of the ball. In particularly in the South Florida game, offensive line issues were exposed, including committing penalties, holding penalties, ineffective run blocking, and you'll see that these issues reemerged throughout the season. Also, there was a struggle to put together long, sustained drives. Most of the scoring drives were the result of big explosive plays that took the offense down the field quickly and either resulted in scores or resulted in getting the ball into the red zone and then a subsequent score from there. You rarely saw 10, 12 play drives where you'd pick up 3, 4, 5 first downs in a scoring drive. So again, it was a boom or bust offense. And the other thing you'll notice is that the team's talented but undisciplined at times, both in terms of committing penalties and also in terms of just doing the job, play in and play out, that somebody would break down. And when you have one or two players on either side of the ball who break down and don't do what they're supposed to do, then things fall apart. And finally, what was exposed is that the quarterback, in particular, was a boom or bust. Milroe was a boom or bust quarterback. He could not pick apart a defense in moving the ball down the field, hitting 3, 5, 7, 8 yard completions at a time and taking the offense down. It was either going to be a big play from using his legs or throwing the ball over the top, or it was going to be a sack, an incomplete pass. So it really was boom or bust on the offense. So now let's jump into the Western Kentucky game. In that game, Alabama blew out Western Kentucky. It was really Bama scoring on explosive play after explosive play. Western Kentucky was outmanned and outgunned. But again, Bama didn't score on 8 to 10, 12 play drives. They scored on explosive drives. Milroe was 7 for 9 for 200 yards and threw for 3 touchdown passes. Threw for 3 touchdown passes on 7 completed passes. Again, boom or bust. Hit a touchdown pass of 22 yards, 84 yards, and 55 yards. And then the offense, in terms of running, had a TD run of 12 yards, of 39 yards, of 85 yards, and 21 yards. Again, it was not push the ball down the field, 10-play drive, 12-play drive, eat up the clock, 4, 5, 6 minute drives. That was just not the Bama offense this season. Bama averaged 9.2 yards per play and had over 600 yards of offense in the game. Really blew out Western Kentucky, dominated it. But again, these were not pick up 5 yards in a cloud of dust or pick up 6 yards and just methodically move the ball down the field. Big play, nothing. Big play. That's just the way this offense was under Milroe. A couple of things that reared their ugly heads in this game were 7 penalties for 59 yards. And it was just the penalties that continued to hurt Alabama throughout the season. Untimely penalties, bad penalties that either stopped drives on the offensive end or bad penalties that would extend drives when we were on defense. And so it just ended up being a theme throughout and really tough. So those were the big takeaways from the Western Kentucky win. It was a blowout. Alabama was much better than Western Kentucky, had better dudes on both sides of the ball, dominant performance, but it was not a smash mouth, just run the ball down their throat, throw it 3, 5, 7 yards at a time, big play or nothing type of offense, and that's what we saw. So then from there, the next game was the South Florida game, and in that game, Alabama won 42-16, but going into the fourth quarter was only up 14-13. It was a really ugly game through three quarters and a game that Alabama looked out of sorts from a lot of different perspectives. It was just not a dominant performance, and there were a lot of things to look at as Alabama was up 14-13 heading into the third quarter of that game. A lot of flaws were exposed, and I think teams that beat us were able to play on those flaws later in the season. It was really Alabama's undoing. We were able to put 28 points on the board in the final quarter. And you know, we're able to just wear out South Florida at that point. A couple of things. Jalen Milroe had a solid performance rushing for 2 touchdowns and throwing for 2 touchdowns. But again, it was more that boom or bust mentality. Jam Miller had 140 yards and Justice Haynes also had a touchdown. Ryan Williams had a big play catching a long touchdown pass. And the Alabama defense was decent for the game, and they only allowed South Florida to have 1 touchdown. But a couple of things really stuck out to me from the defensive side is that there were receivers that got open with busted coverages, and really it was the quarterback's inability to connect on those big plays that could have swung the ball into a different outcome had the South Florida quarterback been able to connect on some busted coverages where he had receivers open, and he just missed them on the throws. So that was a tough game. South Florida was a good team, and Bama got exposed. So let's go through some things that happened in that game that really were there. Number one, turnovers by Bama. 3 fumbles lost in that game. Those are drive killers when you're losing the ball. The offensive line, had they been more dominant in that game, probably wouldn't have resulted in those fumbles, because a lot of those fumbles were due to contact and the runners getting the balls knocked out. And that is due to either runners being undisciplined and trying to get that extra yard and not having good ball security, but also the blocking not being what we needed. Bama also had 13 penalties for 120 yards. Milroe got sacked 4 times. The pass protection was not great, but Milroe also held on to the ball too long and took some of those sacks because he was hanging on to the ball too long. And again, it just demonstrates that Milroe from the pocket really struggled. Milroe in a traditional passing game really struggled. He was most effective, and under Saban, they really went to this, was using his legs, rolling him out, moving the pocket and playing to his strengths, which was being a deep ball thrower because he throws the deep ball really well, and then moving around, him trying to be a traditional drop back passer in the pocket, make the read, get rid of the ball quickly, throw a guy open. That was just not Milroe's strength, and it really came out. Also, we had five holding penalties, and two of those holding penalties took touchdowns off the board. So the offensive line was really struggling with the quick, aggressive offensive lineman from South Florida, and had six holding penalties for the game, gave up four sacks. The offensive line issues were exposed, and that came into play later in the season as well. But once we got into the fourth quarter, up 14-13, we hit on three explosive plays in the fourth quarter to put the game away. There's a 43-yard explosive play pass to Ryan Williams, and that is what Milroe thrived on, was making those explosive play passes to his receivers, Williams, Jeremy, Bernard, and the like, and hitting it big. Jim Miller busted a 56-yard run for a touchdown, and Justice Haynes busted a 29-yard run for a touchdown. So we bore down in the fourth quarter. Wilkin Formby, after getting multiple holding calls, was pulled from the game in the fourth quarter, and we really focused on running the ball and playing to that, and were able to wear South Florida down. So key takeaways were the offensive line struggle, and that was a theme throughout. Some of it was the O-line itself. Some of it was scheme-driven. Some of it was due to Milroe holding on to the ball too long, but both in run blocking and particularly in pass protection, we really struggled in that game from those situations. So here are the signs that I saw from the first two games, and the issues that would continue to raise their ugly heads throughout the season. And it really showed up in the Vandy game when Bama lost its first game, that these struggles that really were evident, particularly after the South Florida game, and these issues never really got fixed throughout the season. So number one, it was the QB was boom or bust. He would hit on explosive plays, either through throwing the ball deep, over the top, throwing the ball just down the line on a go route, corner route, post pattern. He was not effective in the short intermediate passing game throughout the season, really struggled to be a pocket passer. So it was either boom or bust with passes, deep passes, quick hitting passes to go deep, or using his legs to create big plays. But he was just could not be relied on to be an effective pocket passer and to pick a team apart, hitting 3, 5, 7 yard, 10 yard passes like a Tom Brady, like a Peyton Manning would do. Another thing was the offensive line struggles due to scheme, due to technique, due to talent issues, were not effective in the running game or in traditional pass protection. There was a breakdown there, and it never really got fixed completely, particularly in the pass protection. And it was definitely a disconnect between Milroe holding on to the ball too long, being too reliant, but also just the pass blocking not being what it needed to be for Bama to be able to make the playoffs. And if they're going to do it, they're going to need to fix those issues. The other issue that really showed up and the penalties continued to come up was the offensive line struggled with holding penalties. Just something that's – they got to be better. They're going to have to figure out ways to not either leave the tackles exposed to getting beat and being forced to hold, or the quarterback's got to get rid of the ball quicker, or you got to have chip plays with tight ends and running backs chipping on the edge to slow down the speed rushers and allow the quarterback time to make the throws that he needs to make. On the defensive end, too many penalties, too many blown coverages. Had South Florida had an accurate quarterback who could take advantage of the blown coverages, South Florida probably would have put 14 to 21 more points on the board, and the game could have had a very different outcome in terms of looking like an Alabama blowout. But really, it was late scores by Alabama that made the game seem like a blowout, but it really was a close competitive game with, again, Alabama only being up 14-13 at the end of the third quarter of that South Florida game. What we did notice is the quarterback is explosive both in the run game and in throwing the ball down the field. Very explosive in that. And what the defense has figured out is don't let Milroe beat you over the top and don't let him beat you with your legs. Force him to be a pocket passer, force him to have to pick you apart, and Milroe couldn't do it. And in those losses, it really was Milroe getting exposed as his inability to do that that really hurt Alabama in those losses that kept them out of the playoffs, and also as to why they lost to Michigan in that bowl game that was really a tough pill to swallow given Alabama's talent level and Michigan's talent level in that game. But some things that really turned up that you could see in these two games were how explosive Ryan Williams and Jeremy Bernard are. They're big-time receivers. They can get open. They can make big plays. You just got to have a quarterback that can deliver the ball to them on time, in the right spots, run the right routes. We've got two game-breaking receivers, and you throw in Isaiah Horton in there, and we really got three receivers that look really good, really effective, and that's not including the guys, the second, third teamers. It is a really deep, good wide receiver room, and you saw how good Ryan Williams and Jeremy Bernard are and can be. So those are some positive things that came out of these first two games. The other thing is the defense is talented, but they were not fully dialed in these first two games. They were mistake-prone, made a lot of penalties, blew assignments. So those were some things that, again, reared their ugly head throughout the season. So in summary, as we go back and look at these first two games of Alabama's season, Western Kentucky, big explosive plays, blew out Western Kentucky, but again, no big drives. Defense was just, they just outmanned Western Kentucky. Western Kentucky was at a big advantage. But the South Florida game really exposed problems that Alabama never really got fixed throughout the season. And although Alabama finished 9-3, really should have been 10-2 or 11-1 had they been able to fix these issues and develop the quarterback to where he could be more effective in making quick reads, get the ball out quickly, and hit those 5, 7, 10-yard passes that keep the chains moving. And Milroe was just never effectively able to develop like that. Offensive line struggles. Again, we were not able to just bear down and run the ball when needed and get 3, 4, 5 yards and keep the chains moving. It was big player bust. And so those things really hurt us in the Vanderbilt loss, in the UT game in the fourth quarter when we needed to make plays and we're behind, couldn't do it. Certainly in Oklahoma, we got ourselves in a big hole and couldn't dig ourselves out. And the Michigan debacle was really a poor offensive outing, particularly with Milroe, but the team just couldn't do anything effectively. So we'll revisit those. We're going to revisit those in future episodes. That this has been an episode, a rewind episode, looking at Alabama's win over Western Kentucky, South Florida, lessons learned, issues exposed, and in areas that if Alabama's going to make the playoff and make a run for the Natty, these issues cannot come into play and cannot be the issues they were in 2024 and 2025. We're going to have to be better, and those issues are going to have to be fixed. Hopefully Ryan Grubb can fix the issues with the offense. The defense did improve, was more disciplined. If they can just keep the penalties under control, they did a much better job of doing their jobs, each player doing the assigned things and not blowing coverages as much later in the season. But the offense just didn't improve enough throughout the year to make that step that the defense made throughout the season. So we're hoping 2025 is going to be a better, more fine-tuned team, coached up better, able to execute better, and get a better result. So anyway, this has been an episode. This has been another episode of the Bamature Hour. Again, this is a rewind. I'm Bama John. Thank you for listening. And today is Wednesday, June 4th, 2025, in the year of our Lord. And I just appreciate all you listeners, and we'll be back with another episode soon.